Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Sabbath to everyone. We greet you whether you're in Pal Talk, on Blog Talk, on the internet in general, whether you're on the North American continent, the South American continent, Europe, or Africa. We pray that you're having a blessed day if you have entered into your Sabbath and that you are richly enjoying the Word of the Most High. Or if you have not entered into your Sabbath yet, we pray that you are in your preparation and are ready to worship the Most High Elohim. We are still in the covenant, the blood covenant, and the Elohim of the blood covenant, and we've been looking at the Most High and the statutes, laws, commandments in the Old Covenant, and mainly so that we know what comes into the New, but also so that we know and learn how the Most High operates, how he has gone about doing things in the past, because, you know, he says he changes not. And so if we expect to see a different Elohim in the New Testament, then we would be saying that, you know, he's not true to his word. He says, you know, he doesn't change. And so true to his word, as we have studied this and, you know, brought it into the New, where, you know, at different points, we find that he has not changed, and that he is true to his word, and that he's not playing. And that is the biggest thing. He's not playing. He's saying, hey, rather than me getting you now, I have appointed a day that I will call all men into accountability. And it's not the day that you die. You know, people are teaching, hey, when you die, you go to judgment. But the scripture says the judgment for everyone, for those saints who died for the word of the Most High and for the testimony of Messiah, they get resurrected, the first resurrection. And if you don't take the mark of the beast, which you will die for the word of Yah or for the for Messiah, all of whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, they will take the mark, okay? And they are judged and will be thrown into the lake of fire. But then there's going to be a thousand-year reign. And after the thousand years, the Most High says, now he's going to call everybody else back into accountability. So people seem to think that they're getting away with something, you know, because judgment is not coming right away. They think that they're getting away, you know, with sinning and doing those things before the Most High. But he says, no, I've appointed a day. So anyway, we want to be faithful. We want to be loyal. We want to be knowledgeable. And we want to be worshiping the Most High in spirit and in truth. So we are looking to see what's in his covenant, what's in his old covenant, and what comes forward into the new. That is what this series is all about, so that we can worship him the way that he wants us to worship him, and that we can be in truth while doing so. You know, a lot of people worship, but not according to truth, not according to knowledge, not according to what the scriptures say. And so we just want to be, you know, the best that we can be in this walk. So we pray that everyone has had a blessed day and that you are ready to eat from the word of the Most High. We will be starting in Numbers chapter 35 on today. And so I pray that you are ready to eat, you know, from the word of the Most High. Again, we are looking at the covenant, and we're looking at how the Most High, how he conducts business, how he interacts with man, and mainly Israel. But, you know, this is how he's going to deal with all nations at some point, and all those people who call themselves saints. That's how he's going to deal with us. So we need to know. This is a need to know. Not a want to know, but a need to know. So that, as I said, we walk upright before him. So let us start with our statement of faith on this evening. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on this Shabbat. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 We glorify you. We lift you up on today, Most High Elohim. We magnify your name and we glorify you. For you are Elohim and you are Elohim all by yourself. There is none like you, Father. There is none like you. Hallelujah, Father. We just celebrate you on today. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come and sup with us, Yah. Sup with us, your people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah and glory to your name. May the ladies to cover their heads, men uncover your heads as we go before the Most High in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all times. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments in spirit and in truth. Father, you said that your people Israel have done wickedly, that we walk contrary to you, that you walk contrary to us. You said, but if we would return from our wicked ways and repent from our sins and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears towards your people Israel. Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you and that we have done wickedly, and we are repenting of our sins and returning from our wicked ways. And we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world. But this will be our testimony. This is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that you should call in Messiah, that they should come and serve you in spirit and in truth. Now, Father, as we prepare to go to work in the kingdom on this evening, we ask that you would smile upon this work, that you would give us favor in all that we do, in Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. The book of the book of 1 Kings chapter 8. The book of 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 46 through 50. If they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whether they were carried captives, and repent and make supplication unto thee, in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned, and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul, in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication, in heaven thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause. And forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions, wherein they have transgressed against thee. And give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron. that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt. O Yah, Elohim. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26 through 28. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, which I command you this day. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, but turn aside out of the way, which I command you this day, to go after other Elohims, which you have not known. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. Okay, we are in Numbers chapter 35. Starting in verse 1. The book of Numbers, chapter 35, starting in verse 1. And Yah spake unto Moses. Well, you know what? Hold on a minute. It is the Shabbat, and we need to have the blowing of the shofar.
It is always good to stand before you on the Lord's Sabbath day. In fact, this day, sisters and brothers, is what we're going to talk about and what it means. The title of this lesson is the Lord's Sabbath, a day of rest. The Lord's Sabbath, a day of rest. You know, we keep these feast days because that's a part of God's plan. And at the very top of the feast days is the Lord's weekly Sabbath, because this day means something. But being that if you are people that don't observe the Lord's Sabbath day, then you don't have a clue what the Lord is doing, and you don't have a clue what this day means. The Lord give you these things, not just, I'm going to put you through some rituals so I have you being busy. He give you certain things that you need to do, which is beneficial to your salvation. And it will also tell you what he is doing.
The seventh day of the week is the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Now rejected every Sunday by folks who's professing to be Christian, but they never follow Jesus' direction. You should observe the Lord's Sabbath on the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Instead of serving Satan, falling for his deceptions, how you call yourself Christian and don't follow directions? God put the plan in motion from the very beginning, then gave the law to Moses so we know when we sin. And with his own finger, it was personally written. But still the law that says remember is the first we forget. And what's worse is you got the nerve to call yourself Christians. Like when Christ came, the Sabbath day starts twitching. But no mention of Sunday Sabbath in scripture. So where it come from if God didn't deliver? Don't say one of Paul's epistles. Like Paul somehow supersedes the official. How the servant gonna serve a different dish from the many? Remember, Paul's habit was to teach on the Sabbath. And he ain't preach against the law, he was keeping commandments. And since when did Paul establish Christianity standards? Thought the definition of Christian was those that follow Christ. And the Lord's Sabbath starts every Friday night. The seventh day of the week is the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Now rejected every Sunday by folks who's professing to be Christian, but they never follow Jesus' direction. You should observe the Lord's Sabbath on the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Instead of serving Satan, falling for his deceptions, how you call yourself Christian and don't follow directions? I'm not a Seventh-day Adventist or Jehovah's Witness. I'm just one who doesn't add nor diminish from scripture. It's written revelations. Who switched the day of convocations? Worshiping the constellations, not knowing it's pagan. That's the Roman congregation giving false information on that other Jesus from these Japheth nations. Salvation is of the Jews, John 4:22. These modern day Christians, they ain't got no clue. They try to justify their lies, say their face turned blue. Your New Testament refuse eradicated in lieu. And your Easter celebration proves you know it's the truth. How can Sunday be the first day and the Sabbath too? And at the end of the Sabbath, Mary came to the tomb. And Saturday is the day the Lord stood up to read. But who you follow? Constantine or Luke 4:16? The seventh day of the week is the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Now rejected every Sunday by folks who's professing to be Christian, but they never follow Jesus' direction. You should observe the Lord's Sabbath on the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Instead of serving Satan, falling for his deceptions, how you call yourself Christian and don't follow directions?
The world is so uninformed until they don't even know that the only God that this man has ever dealt with is Jesus before he became Jesus. And you have people arguing about, well, I like the God of the Old Testament, other I like the God of the New Testament, but what they don't realize, the God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament. Therefore, if you realize that they are both one and the same, then you understand that nothing has changed since the Lord started dealing with man. Somewhere along the line, people think that there are changes when it comes to the Word of God. Sister and brother, there is no change. The Lord says he's God and he changed not.
Amen. The seventh day of the week is the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Now rejected every Sunday by folks who's professing to be Christian, but they never follow Jesus' direction. You should observe the Lord's Sabbath on the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Instead of serving Satan, falling for his deceptions, how you call yourself Christian and don't follow directions? The seventh day of the week is the day that he rested, y'all. Don't take issue with me. The Lord said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy.
Follow Jesus direct.
That was a command.
On the day that he rested.
Yeah. Not a suggestion.
Falling for a deception.
I'm just giving a message.
The seventh day of the week is the day that he rested. Hallowed and blessed it. folks is professing. Follow Jesus' directions.
How to reach my family, how to reach the sea, yes I help. Open up the scriptures, prophecy is written freely, given children read. 28 Deuteronomy's 15 from 68 proclaim. If we disobey, broke the covenant, then we would bear the shame. 400 years in a land that is not ours. 400 years against our enemy and having no power. 400 years of oppression bound in chains. 400 years for disobedience. We bear the shame. We bear the shame.
Israel been asleep for so long, we can't tell which way we going, right or wrong. Pouring to the sun, got in the churches on the first day, calling on Jesus who threw the law away. This led to 400 years of oppression and depression. Should we by now have learned our lesson? Shackles are off, but our mind's in a deceptive state. What do you think is gonna be our end state? The lake?
How to reach my family, how to reach the seed of Israel. Open up the scriptures, prophecy is written freely, given children read. 28 Deuteronomy 15, 68 proclaim. If we disobey, broke the covenant, that we would bear the shame. 400 years in a land that is not ours. Bound in chains. 400 years of disobeying, we lost his name. 400 years, 400 years, 400 years, 400 years. We've been the tail and not the head. The scripture says 400 years, 400 years in a land that is not ours. 400 years against our enemy, we've had no power. 400 years of oppression bound in chains. 400 years of disobeying, that's
we blind up in Babylon, haters getting whipped on. Still practice voodoo while we sing that Obama song. Before we arrive to the kingdom, must come out of her. Spiritually and physically, wean ourselves from her. We must believe in Yah and herself, no trash from her. Mystery Babylon, the wickedness she be on. Man, our people minds gone, suicidal brains blown. However, Yah is in control, we must stay whole and be strong. And join the fold, this is not a show. Bump this in your whip, turn off the radio.
Drawing up to the time. Drawing up to the time. 400
I do it for you. I give you the praise and the glory. You came and you walk in the flesh, an example of love. It is a story. Your words jump at me like a picture. The perfect you are in the scriptures. Your words, they don't change and they don't go void. You are the truth you deliver. Most High, I honor you. You are my Elohim. You're the creator of everything. There are no others beside you, and they know that. You are the Redeemer and they know you coming back. Alleluia, 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 protect all my members, cause I gotta be in that number. Most High, I honor you. You are my Elohim. You're the creator of everything. There are no others beside you, and they know that
unto Moses in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, saying, command the children of Israel that they give unto the Levites of the inheritance of their possession cities to dwell in. And you shall give also unto the Levites suburbs for the cities round about them. So the Most High is telling Israel, the Levites aren't to have a possession in the land, but they still got to have some place to live. And so he's telling all of the tribes, give the Levites some place to live in your cities. Give them the suburbs. And the city shall, and the city shall they have to dwell in. And the suburbs of them shall be for their cattle and for their goods and for their beast. So, you know, the Levites have possessions. They can't keep them at the temple. And so the Most High is telling all of the tribes, give out of your possessions the Levites someplace to stay in all your tribes. And the suburbs of the cities which you shall give unto the Levites shall reach from the wall of the city and outward 1,000 cubits round about. So he's telling them just what the Levites are to have. From the wall of the city, the suburbs, the first 1,000 yards around the city belong to the Levites. The tribes were to give that to them for their cattle and, you know, for their sheep and all that. And you shall measure from without the city on the east side 2,000 cubits and on the south side 2,000 cubits and on the west side 2,000 cubits and on the north side 2,000 cubits. And the city shall be in the midst, and this shall be to them the suburbs of the cities. So he's saying, hey, you're going to go out 2,000 cubits north, south, east, and west from each city. That's going to be called the suburbs, and that was those first 1,000 or 2,000 cubits belong to the Levites. And among the cities you shall give unto the Levites, there shall be six cities for refuge, which you shall appoint for a manslayer. Now, we read about the manslayer, the person that killed somebody by accident. We read about that before. And the Most High said, you know, because it was an accident, then and the family still might want to kill this person. You know, the whoever relative he killed, they might still want vengeance. And so this person was to have a place to run to and be safe. And the elders of that city were to keep that person safe. But if he was guilty, the elders were to turn him over to whoever wanted to avenge, have vengeance on him. they were to turn him over if it was proven that he was guilty. So he's saying six cities for refuge, which you shall appoint for the manslayer, that he may flee there. And to them you shall add 42 cities. So a total, they're going to start off with six cities. But when everything was all said and done and the nation was mature, there's supposed to be a total of 42 refuge cities. So all the cities which you shall give to the Levites shall be 48 cities. Them shall you give with their suburbs. And the cities which you shall give shall be of a possession of the children of Israel. From them that have many, you shall give many. And from them that have few, you give few. In other words, the biggest tribes were going to get the biggest land, the amount of land. They were going to get the most cities. They were to give up the most cities to support the Levites. Okay? According to his inheritance, which he inherited. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when you come over the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall appoint you cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the slayer may flee there, which killeth any person at unawares. And that means, they weren't trying to kill them. And they shall be unto you cities for refuge from the avenger, and that the manslayer die not until he stand before the congregation in judgment. And of these cities which you shall give, six cities you shall have for refuge. You shall give three cities on this side of the Jordan, three cities which you shall give in the land of Canaan, which shall be cities of refuge. These six cities shall be a refuge both for the children of Israel and for the stranger and for the sojourner among them, that everyone that killeth any person unawares may flee there. So this word unawares is not saying that they don't know. From the previous scriptures that we read, this is somebody who kills somebody by accident. And, the example that it gives in the scriptures, you're in the woods, you're chopping wood, you pull your axe handle back, to go to chop a piece of wood, and the axe head comes off, flies through the air, and kills somebody. Now, that's clearly an accident. But you know that if you and them are the only one in the woods, somebody might think you did it on purpose. So he says that person was to have a place to flee to so that the avenger of whoever got killed, they could go there, but that person was under protection in that city. Okay? Verse 16, Numbers chapter 35, verse 16. And if he smite him with an instrument of iron, so that he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. This is somebody who as murder is taking a life unjustly on purpose. Manslaughter is when you take a life and it was by accident. And then self-defense is when somebody tries to take your life unjustly and you take theirs. If he smite him with a throwing stone, whether he may die, and he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. So anybody that kills someone intentionally was always to be put to death. According to this is the judgment of the Most High. Or if he smite him with the hand, weapon of wood, whether he may die, and he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. The avenger of blood himself shall slay the murderer. When he meets him, he shall slay him. So this person who is avenging the person who was murdered, he says when you meet the person that murdered them, you to avenge your brother's blood, your kinman's blood, whoever it is that whose blood you are avenging. He says you're to slay them right then. This is the judgment of the Most High. It says if they are innocent, they're not supposed to die. But if they are guilty, if they murdered somebody, they took somebody's life unjustly, then they are to be killed. Okay? That's his judgment. Now, we got a lot of states in the United States of America that don't have the death penalty for murder. A lot of them did away with it, you know, as cruel and unusual punishment. But this person took a life. Now, for those people who, you know, when we got the system that is rigged, it's one-sided, then, yeah, you might look at things and say, hey, this system is so corrupt that you can't trust it. And that's a whole nother thing, because it's the system. Remember that word system, another word for that word system is world. The world becomes unjust and corrupt. Okay, the system. So you got corrupt men, you know, doing corrupt things. But the Most High's judgment is simply this. If it is an accident, it is proven to be an accident, that person is not to be punished for that. But if it's willful, intentional, taking a life for no reason, not for no reason, for an unjust reason, then he says that person who took the life is supposed to die. Okay. Verse 22. But if he trusts him suddenly, without enmity, without hatred, and has cast upon him anything without laying of wait. In other words, this is not premeditated. He's not waiting, you know, in wait, waiting for this person to come so he can attack him. He's not, you know, in a burst of anger, in a fit, in an argument, kills this person. Or with any stone wherewith a man may die, seeing him not, and cast it upon him that he die, and was not his enemy, neither sought his harm. Then the congregation shall judge between the slayer and the avenger of blood according to these judgments. See, the Most High said these are his judgments. This is how he wants us to judge. These are the judgments that Israel didn't want to live by. These are the judgments that mankind don't want to live by. And so he says when we do that, when we don't accept his judgments, then we declare ourselves to be more righteous than he is. And the congregation shall deliver the slayer out of the hand of the avenger of blood. And the congregation shall restore him to the city of his refuge, whither he was fled. And he shall abide in it until death of the high priest, which was anointed with the holy oil. But if the slayer shall at any time come without the border of the city of his refuge, whither he was fled, and the avenger of blood find him without the borders of the city of refuge, and the avenger of blood killed the slayer, he shall not be guilty of blood. So the Most High is saying, hey, the just thing is that, you know, if you take the life of a man, you're supposed to lose your life. But if it was an accident, then you're supposed to have some place to go where you can take refuge. And you have to stay in that place the rest of your life. And if the avenger of blood, the one who wants to avenge whoever life you took, whether it was just or unjust, if they catch you outside the city and they kill you, he just said he shall not be guilty of blood, because he should have remained in the city of his refuge until the death of the high priest. So if he come out before the high priest die, then he can be killed. But after the death of the high priest, the slayer shall return into the land of his possession. So these things shall be for a statute of judgment unto you throughout your generations and all your dwellings. So let's go back over that again so we understand. If the man, let's say you're in the woods, you're chopping wood, the axe handle comes off your axe, it hits somebody in the head, it kills them. It was an accident. You are to have a place to run for refuge, but you have to stay in that city of refuge until the high priest that's in office at that time, the one that was anointed at that time, till they die. When that high priest dies, then you can go back to your own home out of that city of refuge. But if you leave out of that city before the high priest dies, then in the avenger, the person that wants to avenge you taking that person's life, catches you outside the city and kills you, then he says they're not to be held guilty, because the law says you were supposed to stay in the city of refuge until the high priest that was in office died. So you disobeyed the commandment, and the avenger can avenge your, the blood that you took, whether it was innocent or intentional. Now, if it was intentional, if it was murder, then, you know, the law already says that if it's proven that it was murder, they were supposed to hand you over to the avenger anyway. So, you know, what this is telling us is the Most High doesn't like the taking of life any kind of way. And he understands that, you know, there's, you know, special circumstances when you didn't try to do it, and he makes provisions for that. But he also says that, you know, if a man takes a life, then he's supposed to die. And so if you break the provision that he made for you to live because you did it innocently, you did it ignorantly, you weren't trying to do it, and you break the law concerning your refuge, and the avenger catch you, that he could still kill you and avenge the blood that you took. That's what the scripture says. Okay. Verse 29. So these things shall be a statute of judgment unto you throughout your generations and all your dwellings. Whoso killeth any person, the murderer shall be put to death by the mouth of witnesses, but the one witness shall not testify against any person to cause him to die. Now, this is something that this is something that people have to pay attention to, because the law requires that there be two or three witnesses. One person can't come and testify, just one witness and testify and put somebody to death. They might have been an eyewitness. If they were the only witness, it wasn't enough according to the Most High. Had to be two or three witnesses, okay? So he says by the mouth of witnesses. So there had to be more than one. It says two or three, okay, in other places. So if you murdered somebody and nobody saw you, and nobody could prove you did it, they couldn't put you to death. If they suspected you, if one person saw you, because this is a death sentence, and only one person saw you, one person couldn't put you to death. Okay? Had to be two or more. Moreover, that's why when the woman, remember the woman that they said they caught in adultery? And they brought the woman to Messiah. And, you know, he leans down and he says, he who is without sin cast the first stone. And all of them left. See, he says, where are thy accusers? Now, Messiah knew whether she was guilty or not. And he said she was guilty, because he told her to go and sin no more. But there was no witnesses, nobody to accuse her. And he being the only one, even though he knew she was guilty, he couldn't put her to death, because the law required that there be more than one. So he told her, go and sin no more. You know, I've gotten you out of this, because the law requires two or three witnesses. It says witnesses. Where are your accusers? Where are the witnesses that are against you? So, you know, people will say, you know, you have some people who are Torah only. They'll say, oh, see, he broke Torah right there. But he didn't break Torah. Torah said there had to be witnesses. And even though he knew, being who he was, he didn't actually see it, number one. But even if he had, being the only witness would not have been enough, because it was a capital crime. She was to be put to death for that. But not only that, where was the man at that they caught her with? They said they caught her in the very act. But they didn't bring the man, and the law required that they bring the man also. So, you know, the scriptures are just extremely consistent. And people go in and try to find, you know, things that they can make an argument about. But the truth of the matter is, they be making arguments and they don't know the law. They just want to make it, you know, just want to point a finger and accuse. But the truth of the matter is, the law says they're at the mouth of witnesses. But one witness shall not testify against any person to cause him to die. So if it's a capital case, you got to have more than one witness to put this person to death, according to the Most High. Moreover, you shall take no satisfaction for the life of a murderer, which is guilty of death, but he shall be surely put to death. So somebody who is worthy of death, who has murdered somebody and has been witnessed by more than one person has come forth, he said, you are not to have mercy on them. You shall not take no satisfaction for the life of a murderer. He's saying, you know, actually when you read another verses to understand what this is saying, he's saying, hey, you killed them without mercy. They took a life and they murdered without mercy. You take theirs without mercy. You don't feel sorry for them. Okay. And you shall take no satisfaction for him that is fled to the city of his refuge, that he should come again to dwell in the land until the death of the priest, the high priest. He says, so you shall take no satisfaction for him that is fled into the city, that he should come again to dwell in the land. So you know, the law says he killed somebody. It was an accident. He can run to this city and take refuge. If he comes out before the high priest dies and he get killed by the avenger of blood, he says you're not supposed to have pity on him either, because he didn't keep the law. So you shall not pollute the land wherein you are. For blood it defiles the land, and the land cannot be cleansed of blood that is shed therein, but by the blood of him that shed it. So let's read that again. You shall not pollute the land wherein you are. For blood it defiles the land, and the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed therein, but by the blood of him that shed it. So you want to cleanse the land of blood? Whether it's an accident or not, the person who shed the blood, their blood has to be shed to clean and pay for and atone for the blood that was shed. That's the only thing that can clean it. The Most High just said that. The scripture just said that. So blood must be paid for by blood, and it can't be just any blood. It has to be paid for by the blood of the person who shed the blood. That's what cleanses the land of the blood. Blood cancels out blood. But it can't be, you know, it's got to be the blood of the person that shed the blood, whether it was innocent or whether it was intentional. So wow, these are the judgments of the Most High. He says, hey, this is what cleanses the land of blood. The person who shed the blood, their blood must be shed, whether they were innocent or guilty. That's what cleanses the land of bloodshed. Now, people might have a problem with that, but that is the word of the Most High. And people, you know, when we are dealing in this covenant, the Most High is, you know, he says, my judgments are my judgments. Defile not therefore the land which you shall inhabit, wherein I dwell. For I, Yah, dwell among the children of Israel. So Yah says, if there is bloodshed in the land, if somebody takes a life, the blood of a man, that man is supposed to die to cleanse the land. Whoever took the life. But if they did it in ignorance, I'm making a provision that they can run to the city of refuge. And as long as they stay in the city of refuge until the priest that is in office, that's active when this act was committed, until they die, then they can come out. But if they come out before then, the avenger of blood, if they catch them out, they can still kill them to cleanse the land. So it is blood for blood, but not just any blood. you take a life, the only thing that will cancel that out is your own blood. That's what the Most High is saying. Whoever takes a life, the only thing that can cleanse the land of that blood is the blood of the person that took the life. And he says, defile not therefore the land which you shall inhabit. Don't take a life. Numbers chapter 36. So we see a lot of things in 35 concerning, you know, the taking of life. Not even really the forgiveness, because this person had to flee into the city of refuge. And they were required to stay there as long as the high priest who was in office when they committed accidental death. They were required to stay there until that high priest died. Then they can come out and go back to their possession, go back to their land. But if they were guilty, period, if it was known by two or more witnesses that this person did this, then they were to be put to death without mercy. And even if they ran into a city of refuge, if it was proven that they were guilty, they were to be handed over and killed. Their blood had to be used to cleanse the land. This is what the Most High is saying. Numbers chapter 36 and verse 1. And the chief fathers of the families of the children of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, the families of the son of Joseph, came near and spake before Moses and before the princes, the chief fathers of the children of Israel. And they said, Yah commanded my master to give the land for an inheritance by lot to the children of Israel. And my master has commanded by Yah to give the inheritance of Zelophehad, our brother, unto his daughters. If they be married to any of the sons of other tribes of the children of Israel, then shall their inheritance be taken from the inheritance of our fathers, and shall be put in the inheritance of the tribe whereunto they are received. So shall it be taken from the lot of our inheritance. So they're saying, hey, the woman marries into this other family. This man, Zelophehad, had only daughters. And so Moses was commanded by the Most High to give the daughters an inheritance. Now, the other family members are saying, hey, if these girls get married, they're going to take the inheritance with them to the other tribe. So let's see what the judgment is. Okay. Verse 3 again. And if they be married to any of the sons of other tribes of the children of Israel, then shall their inheritance be taken from the inheritance of our fathers, and shall be put in the inheritance of the tribe whereunto they are received. So shall it be taken from the lot of our inheritance. And when the jubilee of the children of Israel shall be, then shall their inheritance be put unto the inheritance of the tribe whereunto they are received. So shall their inheritance be taken away from the inheritance of the tribe of our fathers. In other words, in the Jubilee, all land for each tribe is to return back to that tribe, to that family within that tribe. And so they're saying, hey, when these girls get married, they're going to take the inheritance into their husband's tribe if they marry outside our tribe. And when the Jubilee comes, because they took the inheritance to that tribe, the inheritance is going to go to that tribe. So let's see what the judgment is. And Moses commanded the children of Israel, according to the word of Yah, saying, the tribe of the son of Joseph has said well. This is the thing which Yah does command concerning the daughters of Zelophehad, saying, let them marry to whom they think best. Only to the family of the tribe of their father shall they marry. So they had to intermarry within their own tribe. Okay? And it wasn't going to be considered a sin. So let them marry to whom they think best. Only to the family of the tribe of their father shall they marry. That way the land don't go out of their possession of the family. Because, it's all girls. So shall not the inheritance of the children of Israel remove from tribe to tribe. For every one of the children of Israel shall keep himself to the inheritance of the tribe of his fathers. And every daughter that possess an inheritance in any tribe of the children of Israel shall be wife unto one of the family of the tribe of her father, that the children of Israel may enjoy every man the inheritance of his fathers. So basically what is being said is, if a woman has an inheritance of land, then she had to marry. She had to marry to somebody within her own father's, their own family, their own tribe. Couldn't marry to another tribe because she would take the inheritance with her, the land. And so to prevent that, she had to marry to somebody within her own family, probably a distant relative. Okay, verse 9. Neither shall the inheritance remove from one tribe to another, but every one of the tribes of the children of Israel shall keep himself to his own inheritance. Even Yah commanded Moses, so did the daughters of Zelophehad. For Mizlah, Tirzah, Haglah, Makah, Noah, the daughters of Zelophehad, were married unto their father's brother's sons. And they were married into the families of the sons of Manasseh, the sons of Joseph, and their inheritance remained in the tribe of the family of their father. These are the commandments and the judgments which I commanded by the hand of Moses unto the children of Israel in the plains of Moab, by Jordan near Jericho. So we see here again, the Most High makes a judgment. And he says, hey, if a girl have an inheritance of land, and she must marry within her own family line, whether it's, you know, the sons of a second, third cousin, however it be, they had to marry so that the land would not pass to another tribe. Now, that's the Most High saying that. These are the words. We're now in Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1. So, you know, before we move on, a lot of people didn't want to obey the judgments of the Most High. And so, you know, some people might say, hey, they're committing incest. He didn't say to marry their own brothers. But they had no brothers to marry. He said, but they were to marry inside of their family. Maybe second, third, fourth cousin, fifth cousin. Who knows? But the truth of the matter is, they couldn't take the land outside of the family because they inherited as a girl. Okay, and so that the land would remain in the family, the Most High said they were to marry within their own family. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 1, starting in verse 1. These are the words which Moses spake unto all the children on the side of the Jordan in the wilderness in the plain over against the Red Sea, between Paran and Tophel, and Laban and Hazeroth and Dizahab. There are 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir unto Kadesh Barnea. And it came to pass in the 14th year, in the 11th month, And it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spake unto the children of Israel, according to all that Yah had given him in commandment unto them. And after he had slain Sihon, king of the Amorites, which dwelt at Heshbon, and Og, king of Bashan, which dwelt at Asheroth in Edrei, on this side of the Jordan, in the land of Moab, began Moses to declare this law, saying, Yah, our Elohim, spake unto us in Horeb, saying, you have dwelt long enough in this mount. Turn you and take your journey, and go to the mount of the Amorites, and unto all the places nigh or near thereunto, in the plain, in the cities, in the valley, and in the south, by the seaside to the land of the Canaanites, unto Lebanon, unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which I swear unto your fathers. So he just gave them where they could go and what part of the land, you know, what was the promised land. Behold, I have set land before you. Go in and possess the land which I swear unto your fathers. Now I want us to understand that this goes from the river Nile all the way to the great river Euphrates. That encompasses some other countries today. And it encompasses some other countries back then. But when Messiah returns, he's taken all the land that is supposed to be Israel's. Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which I swear unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them. And I spake unto you at that time, saying, I am not able to bear you by myself alone, and Yah your Elohim has multiplied you. And behold, you are this day as the stars of heaven for multitude. And Yah Elohim of your fathers make you 1,000 times so many more as you are. So he's saying, make you 1,000 times more as the stars of heaven, and bless you as he has promised you. How can I myself alone bear your cumbrance and your burden and your strife? Take you wise men and understanding and known among your tribes, and I will make them rulers over you. And you answered me and said, the thing which thou hast spoken is good for us to do. So I took the chief of your tribes, wise men, and known, and made them heads over you, captains over thousands, and captains over hundreds, and captains over fifties, and captains over tens, and officers among your tribes. And I charged your judges at that time, saying, hear the causes between your brethren, and judge righteously between every man and his brother, and the stranger that is with him. And you shall not respect persons in judgment, but you shall hear the small as well as the great. You shall not be afraid of the face of man, for the judgment is Elohim's, and the cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me, and I will hear it. And I commanded you at that time all the things which you should do. And when we departed from Horeb, we went through all the great and terrible wilderness, which you saw by the way of the mountains of the Amorites. As Yah our Elohim commanded us, we came to Kadesh Barnea. And I said unto you, you are coming to the mountain of the Amorites, which Yah our Elohim does give unto us. Behold, Yah thy Elohim has set the land before you. Go up and possess it. As Yah, our Elohim of thy fathers, has said unto thee, fear not, neither be discouraged. And you came near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us, and they shall search us out the land and bring us word again by what way we must go up, and into what cities shall we come. What cities we shall come. And the same pleased me well. And I took 12 men of you, one of a tribe. And they turned and went up into the mountain and came into the valley of Eshcol and searched it out. And they took up the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down to us and brought us word again and said, it is good. It's a good land which I, our Elohim, does give us. Notwithstanding, you would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of Yah, your Elohim. And you murmured in your tents and said, because Yah hated us, he has brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Whether shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. Moreover, we have seen the sons of Anakim there. Then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. Yah your Elohim, which goes before you, he shall fight for you, according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes, in the wilderness where thou hast seen how Yah thy Elohim bare thee as a man does bear his son, in all the way that you went until you came into this place. Yet in this thing you did not believe Yah your Elohim. who went in the way before you, to search you out in a place to pitch your tents in, in fire by night, to show you by what way you should go, in a cloud by day. And Yah heard the voice of your words, and was wroth, angry, and sware, saying, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land, which I swear to give unto your fathers. Save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he has trodden upon, and to his children, because he has wholly followed Yah. And Yah was angry with me for your sake, saying, thou shalt not go in there, in that thither. But Joshua, the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go in there. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. Moreover, your little ones, which you said, shall be a prey, and your children, which in that day had no knowledge between good and evil, they shall go in there, and unto them will I give it, and they shall possess it. But as for you, turn you and take your journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. Then you answered and said unto me, we have sinned against Yah. We will go up and fight according to all that Yah our Elohim commanded us. And when you had girded on every man his weapons of war, you were ready to go up into the hill. And Yah said unto me, say unto them, go not up, neither fight, for I am not among you, lest you be smitten before your enemies. So I spake unto you, and you would not hear, but rebelled against the commandment of Yah, and went presumptuously up into the hill. And the Amorites which dwell in that mountain came out against you and chased you, as bees do, and destroyed you in Seir, even unto Hormah. And you returned and wept before Yah, but Yah would not hearken unto your voice, nor give ear unto you. Now, this last sentence here, that Yah would not hearken unto your voice or give ear unto you. A lot of people don't understand that you can push the Most High to a point that he don't hear you anymore. And he doesn't hearken. He doesn't, you know, hear your voice. He doesn't give you an ear because you've been so disobedient. And I know people who are in this condition, and it's a sad thing. Because they keep saying, you know, Yah will have mercy, Yah will have mercy, Yah will have mercy. But Yah, you can go only so far with the Most High. And then he stops hearing. You know, another example of that is Esau. Esau despised his birthright. And then it says, and he repented. But though he sought it with tears, the Most High didn't hear him. The answer was no. So, you know, I don't know where people keep getting this from, that the Most High is all merciful. He's merciful. And his mercy endureth forever. But not if you stay, not if you're not one of his, not if you keep making yourself contrary to him, not if you're doing stuff willfully, like he said, presumptuously. They presumptuously went up to the hill. That means they willfully went up when he told them not to. They disobeyed the Most High. After he told them, don't go up there. Oh, we're going to go and take it now. We believe you now. We have sinned. Most High said, I'm not with you. Because you murmured and you complained. And you're going to come against my servant. You're going to overthrow him. Which means you're trying to overthrow me. And I'm not with you. So you go over there if you want. I'm telling you don't go. They went anyway. And got chased. And then when they came back, you know, because they'd been chased and gotten killed and whipped and everything, then they want to repent again. But Yah wasn't trying to hear their repentance. Yah says, I'm killing all of y'all. You're going to die in this wilderness. Everybody 20 years old and up, you're dying. You have caused me to breach my promise to you. You've caused me to break it. And so, you know, today, we just have people just running around constantly sinning, constantly falling short, and making excuses for falling short, but we can see in the scriptures, you know, I see it clearly, if nobody else does, that the Most High, you can only push him so far. And then when he turns his back on you, it's a done deal. It's very rare that he will turn around and repent of walking away from you, that he'll have a change of heart. And so, you know, we can't keep doing things and then expecting that the Most High is going to, you know, just forever forgive you. That is to take your own salvation in your own hands and risk that he says no. Who would want to risk that? If you know that, who would want to risk that? Would want to risk the Most High saying, I'm done. I mean, he almost got there with me. When he says, I will not forever call you, I knew what he was saying. I'm about to stamp you a reject, and I'm about to turn my back on you. I knew what he was saying. I didn't want that. And he knew I didn't want that. So I repented, and he accepted me. But he knows, I know, that I couldn't pull nothing like that again. Because it would be a reject. And then it would probably be for good, forever. I'm done with you. I don't want that for myself. I don't want that for anyone. But there's so many of us that are, you know, we just keep using the Most High over and over and over again. And we keep putting ourselves in situations where we got to ask for forgiveness. We are outside his will. We know we are outside of his will. We are willfully going outside of his will and thinking that he's got to hearken to our prayers. A lot of people praying amiss, a lot of people praying to Satan and don't know that's who they're praying to because the Most High has turned his back on them. And the one who is answering their prayers and keeps taking them deeper and deeper in the rabbit hole is Satan. Because the Most High has turned them over. So, you know, I want us to understand and to really, really, really take it seriously. Take it serious. So you abide in Kadesh many days according unto the days that you abode there. So Moses runs back down their history to them. This is what you did. This is what the Most High did. This is what got all those people who were murmurers killed, sentenced to, you know, wander the wilderness for 40 years. And this is, you know, your children who were innocent, who couldn't discern good from evil. The Most High didn't hold it against them. He says, those are the ones I'm taking in. Everybody that is 19 years old and under. All the rest of y'all dying in the wilderness, except for Jephunneh. Joshua and Caleb. Everybody else, even Moses didn't make it in, and Aaron didn't make it in. So Moses is about to die because the Most High has given him instructions to go into the promised land. And he's already told Moses, you can't go. So Moses is running down their history to them. Deuteronomy chapter 2. Then we turned and took our journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea, as Yah spake unto me, and we compassed or surrounded Mount Seir many days. And Yah spake unto me, saying, you have compassed or surrounded this mountain long enough, turn you northward. And command thou the people, saying, you are to pass through the coast of your brethren, the children of Esau, which dwelt in Seir, and they shall be afraid of you. Take you good heed unto yourselves, therefore. Meddle not with them. Don't mess with them, for I will not give you their land. This is your brother. I'm not going to give you their land. No, not so much as a foot breadth, because I have given Mount Seir unto Esau for a possession. So, this is Jacob's brother, This is Jacob's offspring now, his descendants, and they're coming up to Jacob's brother Esau's descendants. He says, the Most High said, I have given them this land. I'm not giving you one foot of it. It belongs to them. He said, don't mess with them. Okay? He says, you shall buy meat of them for money, that you may eat. And you shall also buy water of them for money, that you may drink. For Yah thy Elohim has blessed thee in all the works of thy hand. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness, these 40 years. Yah thy Elohim has been with thee. Thou hast lacked nothing. And when we pass by our brethren, the children of Esau, which dwelt in Seir, through the way of the plain of Elath, and from Ezion Gabor, we turn and pass by the way of the wilderness of Moab. And Yah said unto me, distress not the Moabites, neither contend with them in battle, for I will not give thee their land for a possession, because I have given Ar unto the children of Lot for a possession. And Emims dwelt therein in times past, a people great and many and tall as the Anakins, which also were accounted giants as the Anakins. But the Moabites called them Emims. The Horims also dwelt in Seir before time, but the children of Esau succeeded them when they had destroyed them from before them and dwelt in their stead, as Israel did unto the land his possession, which Yah gave unto them. Now rise up, said I, and get thee over to the brook of Zered. And we went over the brook of Zered. And the space in which we came from Kadesh Barnea, until we were come over the brook of Zered, was 38 years, until all the generation of men of war were wasted out from among the host, as Yah sware unto them. For indeed the hand of Yah was against them. And see, people don't believe today that the hand of Yah can be against them. If you mess up too many times and Yah turn his back, he don't just turn his back on you. He comes against you. And so all these things you start going through and you keep wondering, you know, you want to do good, but you can't. You want to, you know, prosper, but every time you turn around, something is happening. It's because the hand of Yah is against you. And as it was against these men, he says, you're not going to enter in. So don't care how much you repent. Don't care what you do. Within 40 years, you're all going to be dead. So those that were 20 years old, before you turn 60, you're going to be dead. Here I had already told them, and his hand was against them, to destroy them from among the hosts until they were consumed. You know, and I keep wanting to warn us that we just can't play with the Most High that way. Because is he showing mercy here? Is he showing grace? He is not. He shows mercy to them that love him, to those that keep his commandments, to those that obey him. But when you are disobedient, And unless Yah gives you a space to repent, he actually says that you are his adversary. You are my enemy. And, you know, we just sin and sin and sin and sin and, you know, want to say, well, we can go back to him and we can say, you know, we're sorry. And he has to forgive us. And this is just so far from the truth. It's not even funny. And this is the way, you know, all the churches are teaching. This is the way all the camps are teaching. Because man just wants to stay wicked. That's that spirit behind that. We just want to stay wicked. We want an excuse to keep doing what we're doing. And saying, you know, but, and the Most High, He'll forgive me. But, you know, as I said, the more I read this word and the more I pay attention to how the Most High operates, they have painted a picture of an Elohim that is not in this Bible. They have misrepresented Him. I will have mercy on you if you are obedient. I will have mercy on you if you show that you love me by keeping my commandments. I will have mercy on you because you're not willfully trying to sin. You may sin, but you're doing it unaware. You're doing it ignorantly. Because the day that you find out about it, you say, okay, I'm not doing that no more because it's contrary to the Most High. And you turn away from it. But then those that keep doing it and keep saying, you know, He'll forgive, He's showing us in this book that those people who turned against Him, who disobeyed Him, He said, I'm against them. And I'm going about to destroy them because they are disobedient. But somehow today is, you know, it's not what people are saying, not teaching about the Most High. And so this is craziness to me. It's craziness. So they want to say, oh, it's a different Elohim, a different God in the Old Testament than it is in the New. It is not. And He didn't change. So where are people getting this stuff from? So it came to pass, verse 16. So it came to pass when all the men of war were consumed and the dead from among the people and were consumed and dead among the people that Yah spake unto me, saying, Thou art passed over through Ar, the coast of Moab this day. And when thou comest nigh over against the children of Ammon, distress them not, nor meddle with them, for I will not give thee the land of the children of Ammon, any possession, because I have given it to the children of Lot for a possession. That also was accounted to a land of giants. Giants dwelt therein in old time, and the Ammonites called them Zamzummims, a people great, and many and tall as the Anakims. But Yah destroyed them before them, and they succeeded them and dwelt in their land, as He did to the children of Esau, which dwelt in Seir, when He destroyed the Horims from before them, and they succeeded them and dwelt in their stead, even unto this day. Now, what I'm reading here is the Most High saying, hey, I'm the one, He says, I'm the one that gives possession. I'm the one that gives wealth. I'm the one that gives power. I'm the one that gives kingdoms and lands. And He's saying, these people, this land belonged to somebody else before I took it from them and gave it to this people. So He says, now I'm going to give you the land of Canaan. Verse 23. And the Avims which dwelt in Hazarim, even the Azaz, the Kaphtorims, which came forth out of Kaphtor, destroyed them and dwelt in their stead. Rise you up and take your journey and pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given into thine hand Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it and contend with him in battle. So the Most High is telling them, you know, Esau, I don't want you messing with Esau. He's your brother, and I'm not giving you one foot of his land. And these other nations that I'm telling you about, don't mess with them. I've given them their land as a possession to Lot. Now, this is what I'm giving to you. Verse 25. This day will I begin to put the dread of thee and the fear of thee upon the nations that are under the whole heaven, who shall hear report of thee, and shall tremble, and be in anguish because of thee. And I sent messengers out of the wilderness of Kathmath unto Sihon, king of Heshbon, with words of peace, saying, Let me pass through thy land, and I will go along the highway, and I will neither turn unto the right nor hand to the left. Thou shalt sell me meat for money, that I may eat, and give me water for money, and I will give me water for money, that I may drink. Only I will pass through on my feet. And as the children of Esau, which dwell at Seir, and as the Moabites, which dwell at Ar, did unto me, until I shall pass over Jordan into the land which Yah our Elohim giveth us. But Sihon, king of Heshbon, would not let us pass by him. For Yah thy Elohim hardened his spirit, and made his heart obstinate, that he might deliver him into the hand, as appeareth this day. And Yah said unto me, Behold, I have begun to give Sihon and his land before thee. Begin to possess, that thou mayest inherit his land. Then Sihon came out against us, he and all his people, to fight at Jahaz. And Yah our Elohim delivered him before us. And we smote him and his sons, and all his people. And we took all his cities at that time, and utterly destroyed the men and the women and the little ones of every city. We left none to remain. So they obeyed the Most High here, and he says they killed everyone, men, women, and little ones. Only the cattle we took for a prey to ourselves, and the spoil of the cities which we took, from Aror, which is by the brink of the river Arnon, and from the city that is by the river, even unto Gilead, there was not one city too strong for us. Yah our Elohim delivered all unto us. Only unto the land of the children of Ammon thou camest not, nor unto any place of the river Jabbok, nor any of the cities in the mountains, nor unto whatsoever Yah our Elohim forbade us. Deuteronomy chapter 3. Then we turned and went up the way to Bashan. And Og, the king of Bashan, came out against us, and he and all his people to battle at Edrei. And Yah said unto me, Fear him not, for I will deliver him and all his people and his land into thy hands. And thou shalt do unto him as thou did unto Sihon, king of the Amorites, which dwelt at Heshbon. So Yah our Elohim delivered into our hands Og also, the king of Bashan, and all his people. And we smote him until none was left to him remaining. And we took all his cities at that time, and there was not a city which we took not from them. 60 cities, all the region of Argob, the kingdom of Og in Bashan. All these cities were fenced with high walls, gates, and bars, besides unwalled towns, great many. And we utterly destroyed them, as we did unto Sihon, king of Heshbon, utterly destroying the men, women, and children of every city. But all the cattle and the spoils of the city we took for our prey to ourselves. And we took at that time out of the hand of the two kings of the Amorites, the land that was on the side of the Jordan, from the river of Arnon unto Mount Hermon, which Hermon the Sidians call Sirion, and the Amorites call Shinar. All the cities of the plain, and all Gilead, and all Bashan, unto Salchai, and Edrei, cities of the kingdom of Og in Bashan. For Og only, king of Bashan, remained of the remnant of giants. Behold, his bedstead was a bedstead of iron. Is it not in Rabbath of the children of Ammon? 9 cubits was the length thereof. So 9 cubits, that's like 27 feet. And 4 cubits in breadth of it, after a cubit of a man. So a cubit was actually 18 inches. So 9 times, that's 12 feet. And then that would be half of that, 6. So this man was 18 feet tall. This land which we possessed at the time from Aurora was by the river, and half a mount of Gilead, and the cities thereof, gave I unto the Reubenites and the Gadites. And the rest of Gilead and of Bashan, being the kingdom of Og, gave I unto the half tribe of Manasseh, all the region of Argob, and all Bashan, which was called the land of giants. Jair, the son of Manasseh, took all the country of Argob unto the coast of Jeshuri and Mahashit, and called them after his own name, Bashan Havajar, unto this day. And I gave Gilead unto Machir. And the Reubenites and the Gadites I gave from Gilead even unto the river Arnon, half the valley, and the border even unto the river Jabbok, which is the border of the children of Ammon. Or that might be Ammon. The plain also, Jordan and the coast thereof, from Chinnereth even unto the sea of the plain, even the sea salt, the salt sea under Ashdod, Pisgah, eastward. And I commanded you at that time, saying, Yah, your Elohim has given you this land to possess it. You shall pass over armed before your brethren, the children of Israel, all that are meet for war. But your wives and your little ones and your cattle, for I know that you have much cattle, shall abide in your cities, which I have given you, until Yah has given the rest of your brethren, as well as you, unto you, and until they also possess the land which Yah your Elohim has given them beyond the Jordan. Then you shall return every man unto his possession which I have given you. And I command Joshua at that time, saying, Thine eyes have seen all that Yah your Elohim has done unto these two kings, so shall Yah do unto all the kingdoms whither thou passest. You shall not fear them, for Yah your Elohim shall fight for you. And I besought Yah at that time, saying, O Yah Elohim, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand. For what Elohim is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to thy works, according to thy might? I pray thee, let me go over and see the good land that is beyond Jordan, that godly mountain, or that goodly mountain in Lebanon. But Yah was wroth with me for your sakes, and would not hear me. And Yah said unto me, Let it suffice you. Speak no more unto me on this matter. Get thee up into the top of Pisgah. Lift up thine eyes westward, northward, and southward, and eastward, and behold with thine eyes, for thou shalt not go over this Jordan. So here is something that, you know, we have to add into our understanding. When the Most High told Moses and Aaron, because they took his glory, that they would not enter into the promised land, that wasn't the end of that matter, because we just read that Moses actually went back and petitioned the Most High to let him enter in. Let me go over and see this land. Let me enter, not just go over and see it, let me go into it. Okay? But the Most High said, don't say nothing to me about it no more. Don't ask me no more. Don't speak no more unto me on this matter. Get thee up to the top of Pisgah and lift up your eyes and look north, south, east, and west. That's as close as you're getting. But charge Joshua. Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 28. But charge Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over his people and he shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see. So we abode in the valley against Beth Peor. So we see that, you know, Moses is running down in the beginning of Deuteronomy. He's running down their journeys through the wilderness. And he's, you know, telling them why what has happened to them, because some of these people weren't alive at this time. There's some new people, children that were born and are grown up. The people who were 19 years old and under, some of them didn't get to see, you know, them coming out of Egypt. Some of these people didn't get to see what happened, everything that happened in the wilderness. So he's reciting what they have gone through. And then he's telling them, you know, why some of them didn't enter in and the ones that are going to enter in. And then Moses just got through telling us, hey, because of what y'all, you know, y'all made me angry, And then I came out here and I spoke on behalf of the Most High, and I took his glory, and he told me I wasn't going to be able to enter into the promised land. But then we read here also that Moses went back and petitioned the Most High. You know, and we don't know how many times he asked him, but it came to the point where the Most High told him, don't ask me about this again. Don't ask me about this matter again. You're not going into the promised land. I've already spoken on it. So get up on top of this mountain, and you can look north, south, east, and west. Wherever you look, north, south, east, and west, that's what I'm giving to the children of Israel. But you're not going to enter into it. Okay? Deuteronomy chapter 4. Actually, let's stop here for this evening. Because now, you know, we're going to get back, we're going to get into more law. And I want us, again, we are to be paying attention. Paying attention to the Most High, how he operates. Because people have invented a God that don't exist in this Bible. And when they are twisting the scriptures in the New Testament, they're inventing a God, an Elohim, that don't exist in this book. And all so that they can feel good about themselves and what they're doing. But a day of reckoning is coming. And Yah's going to reckon with everybody. You know, and people want to, you know, believe that they got an easy way to go. They got a way into the kingdom and it's made. But it's not. And if you have been following along and, you know, been paying attention, then you know that the Elohim of the Bible don't play. And so, you know, as I said, the more that I read this, reread it, and the mind that he has given me for him is to show and to tell that he don't play. And that we should not take this thing lightly at all. And people don't want to hear that. It surprises me how many people don't really want to hear that. People would rather stay where they are comfortable rather than getting right with the Most High. Let me say that again. People would rather stay where they are comfortable rather than get right with the Most High. And I don't understand it. I don't understand that mentality. I really don't. So, yeah, we're going to be on the same thing. We just want to be right with the Most High. We want to be in right relationship with him. We want to walk before him under his terms and not our own. Under his terms and not our own. And so, you know, I pray that we get the mind of the Most High and that we walk in under his terms and that we learn to live by his terms and we don't try to make up our own terms and try to worship him the way we want to worship him and serve him the way we want to serve him, but we serve and worship him the way he wants to be worshiped and served. Because men are just corrupting this thing left and right. And they're teaching people a corrupt way that leadeth only to the lake. It leads to the lake. Can't lead anywhere else. Because they're believing a lie. And we've already looked and we saw where the Most High says he will cause them to believe a lie. Who changed his truth into a lie. So whosoever is changing his truth into a lie, he says, I will cause them to believe the lie that they themselves told. And we see in this, you know, in these scriptures that you can do it so much that the Most High just says, I've had enough. I'm no longer with you. I'm no longer for you. And you can try to be good, as good as you want to be. But when the Most High gets to that point, we don't even see, we haven't seen one time yet where he repented of it. Where he said, you know, one of those people who murmured against me in the wilderness, one of them, I repented and saved their life. He said, no. I turned against them until they were all dead. And so we take this thing too lightly. You know, and people don't want to hear it, but we've got to tell the truth. People don't want to hear it. Still got to tell the truth. Let us bow our heads. Father Yah, we thank you for your word on this Shabbat. Father, you have taken us back through and you're reiterating those things that are important to you. Your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, your judgments. And as we go from book to book, you keep reiterating these things to us. And you keep showing us how you look at them and how you judge according to your own word. And that you don't change. You don't repent. And Father, we are just learning to be more and more and more fearful of you and your word and to tremble at your word. Because you don't change. We just read where Moses, who you said is unlike any other man, you talk with him mouth to mouth. And when he messed up, you told him he ain't entering in. He ain't taking the people into the promised land. And he came and repetitioned for to be taken in. And you said, no, don't even bring this matter up again. How do we place ourselves above Moses? How do we place ourselves as, you know, we're the exception to the rule? And Moses wasn't the exception, and you talked to him mouth to mouth. And you didn't make an exception for him. Father, we are but foolish people. We are but foolish, foolish, foolish people. And we mock you at your word. But you have said you will not be mocked. And Father, I see it so clearly. Father, give us the heart, the mind, the will to always walk in your ways, in your statutes, your commandments, and your judgments. In your ordinances. Let us see things the way that you see things. Let us judge how you judge. Let us live according to your standard, Father. Help us. Help us. We can't do it without you. Can't do it without your spirit. Help us, Father. Help us. These things I ask and I pray and I petition you for in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. Amen and amen. All right. On tomorrow morning, we are just starting to really get where he's going to reiterate what those things that are in the new covenant and the promises that are in the new covenant and how he made them better in the new covenant, but he didn't change his statutes, his laws, and his commandments. He modified some. And so Deuteronomy is laden with the statutes, laws, and commandments. And so for those people who don't want to hear the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High, they probably don't want to attend for the next, this is 68 chapters. I'm going to have to do better and speed it up. We're going to be in this for a minute. Going to be in it for a minute. Because we cannot serve him with a zeal, with excitement, but not according to knowledge. Because this is what he accuses Israel of, but, you know, this is what the world is doing. Serving him, but not according to knowledge. And so we have learned a lot. We have been reminded of a lot. And we are about to go through it again. Because so much of this, if then, if you do this, then I will do that, is going to show up in this book. That we have to understand and see the promises. Because the promises are also in the new covenant. But we don't see it. We see, why is it that we don't see an if then in the new covenant? And we see unconditional. Unconditional love. But there's no unconditional anything with the Most High. He always says, if you will obey my voice. It's an if condition, but we got unconditional. The Most High loves me unconditionally. He forgives me unconditionally. It is a lie from the pit of hell. It's a lie. And this is what the enemy is pushing, and people are eating it up. It's a lie. There are always conditions. The covenant is conditional. If you obey, if you accept Messiah, and then you obey. They got telling people, if you accept Messiah, but you can still be disobedient. What kind of stupid mess is that? That is a lie. And so we have to do better. We have to do better. So on tomorrow, we will continue in this. As I said, we have to finish this up so that we can worship the Most High in spirit and in truth. So that when we come into the new covenant, that we are not entering in, or we're in an agreement already that we have already transgressed, we've already broken. And so the vast majority of the world is really counting on the mercy of the Most High. But how do we count on his mercy and say, be merciful to me, a sinner, if we continue in sin, if we continue in transgression? How do we expect the Most High? Oh, he's just supposed to be, like I said, unconditional, forever forgiving. That's not his way. And he's showing us that's not his way. And he didn't change it in the new covenant. That is a lie from Satan. It's demonic. And he got so many people hooked through the nose, living their lives this way and believing that they're going to enter into his kingdom. It is foolishness. It is foolishness. So I pray to see you all on tomorrow morning. Get you some rest this evening. Eat in the Word. reread what we read tonight. Get it down in you. Look at what the Most High, how he operates. Stop listening to what the world is saying. Because the world is selling you a bag of BS. And people just eating it up. But the Most High has given it to me to tell you. Fear him. Keep his commandments. Stop taking him for granted, because he's not going to be taken for granted. And stop making him what he hasn't made himself. That's what people do. That's what they have done. Let me just make up an Elohim in my own mind and say that this is the Elohim of the Bible. I just call him God. And it is contrary to what is written. May the Most High encamp his angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. But I can't love you like the Most High loves you. Shalom, family. Happy Sabbath.
rain, or